It's All Stolen, a short story by Thomas R. Cuba. "It's all stolen," the officer said. "All of it?" I asked incredulously. Without emphasis or expression, the officer repeated himself. "It's all stolen property." Standing behind the thin line of yellow crime scene tape, he motioned towards the two men carrying a large flat-screen television from the house to a white van with police markings. They placed the screen into the van and returned to the house. When they emerged again, one with a desktop computer and one with an upper-end stereo receiver, a policewoman with a clipboard checked off the items and tagged each one as evidence. The men wore blue jumpsuits, baseball caps, sunglasses, and light blue latex gloves. Presumably, the clothing would reduce contamination of the evidence as each item was placed into a large plastic bag. The big television had been too large for a bag, and that had seemed to annoy the policewoman immensely. I'd noticed the arrival of the team from my house across the street. It seemed odd that Bill and Judy would have visitors from the police department. They are such a nice couple. Bill, in his early 30s, had told me that he worked in an online marketplace. It was his job to fill sales orders posted to more than a dozen websites. He worked from home most days, but not this one. I'd been told that all he really had to do was to check an order against inventory, assure that the payment had been honored, and then send a shipping order to a warehouse somewhere on the outskirts of town. Judy worked as a hostess at a local sports bar and restaurant. She was easily 10 years younger than Bill. The men in the neighborhood, myself included, always wondered how Bill, a rather plain-looking man of average intellect, had landed Judy as a wife. She was smart and pretty, too. In fact, she was pretty enough that she had been selected as Miss January for the calendar put out by the restaurant. You know the kind. It was the type of place where the food could be mediocre and it didn't matter because the waitresses were all well above average. Judy was prettier than above average, so she was the hostess. They hadn't lived in the neighborhood very long, but everyone seemed to know them. The two officers had arrived first and went to knock on the door. No one answered, so the policewoman kicked it in. She went inside, and the other officer had begun stringing up yellow tape. Then the van arrived, and the two men began collecting evidence. I stood there alone, watching the men carry all sorts of electronic equipment out of the house. At the conclusion of one trip, one of the crime scene technicians spoke to the policewoman. "That's all the electronics." "Check for the jewelry," she replied. "The report says that there should be several items." "Okay," he said, and went back inside, followed by the other technician. A few minutes later, they returned. One was carrying what looked like an elegantly inscribed jewelry box crafted somewhere in India or Thailand. The wood carving was intricate and ornate. The other carried what can only be described as a satchel. The policewoman stopped the second one and asked, "What's that?" "It looks like a stolen antique silverware setting. It's pure silver," he replied. "Okay," she said, and made out a tag. "It's all stolen property," the officer standing on the other side of the tape said again. He seemed to be a good officer, always watching the house, always watching his partner's back. The two men in jumpsuits made one more visit to the house, returning this time empty-handed. "That looks like all of it," one of them said to the policewoman. She nodded in assent, pulled the door closed, and sealed it with crime scene adhesive tape. Waving to the officer near me, she walked to her car. Without turning around, the officer nearest to me ambled over to his own car and drove away. Somewhat unraveled by the realization that Bill and Judy were thieves, I retrieved a cold beer from the refrigerator and sat down in a chair on my porch. I was totally absorbed in thought, staring at the yellow tape that surrounded the yard across the street, when none other than Bill and Judy drove up in their brand new bright orange Corvette. I smiled and waved. Bill looked at me with nothing but questions on his face. Judy climbed out of the vet and stood at the curb, one hand over her mouth and a stunned look on her face. Finally, Bill managed to call to me. "What's going on?" he asked. "What happened?" I couldn't quite bring myself to ask him why he hadn't been arrested, so I smiled and told him that the police had come and put up the crime scene tape. "That's all I know," I swore. Bill walked slowly across the street, often looking back over his shoulder at his now forbidden home. "Judy," he called, "come over here. I'm calling the police to find out what's going on." Judy complied, but slowly. She almost backed across the street, her eyes frozen to her once welcoming home. "Hello?" Bill said into his cell phone. "Police?" Is that the police? Judy asked as she joined us on my porch.
Shh, Bill said.
Yes, this is Bill Hairston. I live at 1437 North Platte. I just arrived home to find my place cordoned off with crime scene tape. Can you tell me what's going on?
Are you talking to the police? Judy asked.
Yes, Bill replied, somewhat agitated. A few minutes later, a squad car arrived. Bill went across the street to talk with the officer while Judy waited with me on my porch. I offered her a beer, but she just shook her head and stared at Bill and the policeman. Shortly, the two men entered the home, breaking the seal on the door as they did so. In a few minutes, Bill emerged again, walked slowly to the end of his driveway, and looked across the street at Judy.
Our stuff, he said. It's all stolen.
Copyright 2017. Thomas R. Cuba. All rights reserved.